So the circumstances are that the stone is already gone. The body of Jesus is gone. They don't know what's happening. Everybody's in a state of confusion. And the angels say, hey, he's gone. He's risen. He's not here. He did just exactly what he told you he was going to do when he was up in Galilee. He told you he was going to be crucified in Jerusalem, and he was. And he told you that the third day he was going to rise again, and he did. And the Bible says they remembered his words. The women run back to the apostles and say, guys, it's true. The Lord is gone. He's alive. He's resurrected.
This is Hope for Today with Bible teacher and author David Hawking. The tomb is empty, the grave clothes left behind, and the one who was brutally crucified now stands alive. In John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, we step into the moment that confirmed everything Jesus said was, for that matter, is true. Mary weeps at the tomb, only to hear her name spoken by the risen Savior. The power of death, it is broken, and the promise of eternal life is secured. How about you? But I am so, so grateful. Well, today we begin our look at the resurrection of Jesus. Stay with us. Day one of a message called He is Alive is coming your way in just a moment. First, so did you know that you can download individual messages from David's powerful study in the Gospel of John? That's our current radio series for just $3 each. Go to davidhawking.org. That's davidhawking.org. And here's David.
Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're looking at the first 18 verses. Our subject, He is Alive. John 20. In our last message, we examined the garden tomb. He's not there. It's empty. He's risen. The story, John chapter 20, beginning at verse 1 down to verse 18. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, our hearts rejoice when we realize that what we believe as Christians is true. It's a historical fact. Jesus came back from the dead. He's alive, he's not dead, and he's coming again. Lord, you tell us that if we believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we would be saved. We remember that Peter preached on that very first day, on the day of Pentecost, to that crowd in Jerusalem and spoke of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray that we'll understand that the resurrection is indeed the central fact of Christianity. Our Savior is alive. He who died and paid for our sins was raised for our justification. We are now declared righteous because it is finished, it's done, it's completed. And he who is the resurrection and the life, if we believe in him, we will live forever. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to notice three things. We'll look at the reaction of the women in verse 1 and 2, and then the response of Peter and John in verses 3 to 10, and wind it up with the reassurance that came to Mary Magdalene in verses 11 to 18. It's wonderful to examine the appearances of our Lord Jesus Christ. Just to give you a little quick rundown, according to the Bible, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene. Secondly, he appeared to the women who were returning from the tomb. Third, he appeared to a person named Clopas or Cleopas and a friend who were on the Emmaus Road. Fourth, he appeared to Peter alone. Fifth, he appeared to the 10 disciples that same night, so it was a busy day. And then sixth, 8 days later, he appeared to 11 disciples. It was 10 the first night, minus Judas, minus Thomas. But Thomas then was with them 8 days later. Now that all is recorded in various passages of the Bible, but we're centering on John 20 and reminding ourselves that here we have an eyewitness. He is that other disciple. He is the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never refers to himself by name. So John was an eyewitness of these events. We're reading his account. Let's look at the reaction of the women who came to the tomb. In chapter 20, verse 1, we're told it was the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark. But it wasn't just Mary alone. What we believe happened here is that Mary was coming with the women, and she ran on ahead. And going a little bit faster, she checked it out first. The women obviously then quickly join her. And Mary Magdalene then runs back to tell the disciples. The women go back and they run into Jesus again. But Mary Magdalene stayed at the tomb a little bit longer and kept going back and forth. Evidently, she is going bonkers over what's happening. Wouldn't you? I love this story. But according to the Bible, she had run and gone and told Simon Peter. That's what verse 2 says. And she had come back again even after they had left. And that's when the Lord Jesus appeared to her. In Matthew 28:1, it says, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Some people try to point out a contradiction here, that John says Mary Magdalene came, but other gospels say there were other women with her. But I think there's no contradiction. The point is Mary Magdalene got there first. Because if you look at verse 2, she did include the other women in her remark. She said, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. The focus is naturally on Mary Magdalene because she's the first one to whom Jesus appeared, which is mentioned in this chapter. In Mark 16:1, it says, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices that they might come and anoint him very early in the morning. Luke 24:1 says, very early in the morning the women came. According to chapter 20, verse 1, it was still dark. It's going to be very close to the dawning of that day, but it's early in the morning, and they're coming. You can imagine what these women were thinking. On Friday, they watched the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. The Bible says the women, and names these same women, were there at the cross watching him. Bible calls them the women that ministered to him. They were often in those caravans that traveled around following Jesus all over the Galilean and Judean hills. And these women knew him well. You can imagine how broken their hearts were as they watched him crucified on that Friday afternoon. And then, wanting to do something special for his body, they had to wait, for we have Saturday as the Shabbat, the Saturday. So they had to wait. Naturally, they had been with their families on Saturday evening. Perhaps they went to bed early that night, I don't know, but with great anticipation, they couldn't wait to get up early in the morning and come and anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very interesting story. Comparing the other accounts, I see there is no contradiction. Mary Magdalene comes first, other women are quickly behind her, and the events fit very naturally into the whole story. There's no reason to even anticipate a contradiction. The circumstances that occurred at the tomb are kind of interesting, however, and I simply point out two. One would be the removal of the stone. In verse 1, it says that she saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Now go back to Matthew chapter 28. Let's take a look at these events. Matthew chapter 28 and look at verse 2. One of the circumstances that occurred to the tomb when the women came with the spices to anoint the body of Jesus was in fact the removal of the stone. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 2. We have this fact that is not recorded in John. Behold, there was a great what? Earthquake. Anybody here know about earthquakes? The Bible doesn't say there was just a earthquake. Read it carefully. There was a what? A great earthquake. We don't know in those days what they're talking about, but on the seismograph, we're talking a very serious earthquake. It also says an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. Interesting that the Greek implies an incline, and that is exactly what you will see in front of these ancient tombs, especially family tombs where the entrance is a little bigger and the stone needs to be larger. It takes a lot of people, sometimes 20 to 24 people trying to push and shove this stone, and to push it up an incline is certainly a lot more difficult than trying to push it down. And all the Lord did is just send one of his angels, and he did it, no problem. I don't know, maybe he just blew. There it went. But the Lord, his power, he can do anything. It's supernatural. There's a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord comes and rolls back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. The Bible says that his countenance was like lightning flashing out, his countenance, and his clothing as white as snow. And these guards who are well-trained in combat says in verse 4, they shook for fear of him and became like dead men. This is quite interesting, isn't it? Turn to chapter 16 of Mark. Chapter 16 of Mark. The removal of the stone. Matthew says an earthquake, an angel of the Lord descended, and he did it. Mark chapter 16. In Mark's account, by the way, you see the women mentioned when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. So it's just coming up now. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was a little tiny stone that anybody could have moved. Is that what it says? No, it was a very large stone, and we dealt with that in our previous message. We'll not go over that again. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go and tell his disciples and Peter. Why mention Peter out of all of them? Well, it was Peter, you remember, who denied the Lord. Isn't that a sweet touch in the Bible that the Lord wanted to appear to Peter, have a special message to Peter? And of course, God used Peter as the spokesman on the day of Pentecost, just a little over 40 days later. So it's quite, or 50 days later. Now, go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Again, we're just kind of looking at the circumstances that the Bible says occurred at the tomb when the women came there and examining their reaction to the whole thing. Apparently, they thought that no one was going to be able to roll away the stone. So they were very concerned about that. Who's going to help us do that? Are the Romans going to do that? They had no idea, but when they came, they found it already happened. Luke 24, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, but they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again?" And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Remember, according to Matthew 27:56, all the disciples forsook him at the time of the cross, and now they're not believing the women. They're saying, "What have these women been drinking?" That was my addition. Verse 12, Peter rose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Then Luke records the account of the two on the road to Emmaus. Now, what we have here, folks, is an intervention by God himself, supernaturally, by an angel, apparently two of them, but it only took one of them to roll the stone away. Didn't take two of them. And I find that interesting. The two who were there, they didn't have to say, "Hey, give me a hand, will you? This thing's kind of heavy." Evidently, the angels are very powerful. Very powerful. I don't know, do you believe in angels? The Bible teaches there are angels. They are spirit beings who can manifest themselves in such a way that they look human. Two men stood by in white apparel. You know, they can look like men, and they can appear in various ways, but their clothing was like lightning shooting off. So it was scary to everybody. Some say that that appearance like lightning was only for the soldiers who then were scared and fell over, but then it was kind of subdued when they talked to the disciples or to the women. We don't know that any of that's true, but it's just kind of how people put the story together. So the circumstances are that the stone is already gone. The body of Jesus is gone. They don't know what's happening. Everybody's in a state of confusion. And the angels say, "Hey, he's gone. He's risen. He's not here. He did just exactly what he told you he was going to do when he was up in Galilee. He told you he was going to be crucified in Jerusalem, and he was. And he told you that the third day he was going to rise again, and he did." And the Bible says they remembered his words. The women run back to the apostles and say, "Guys, it's true. The Lord is gone. He's alive. He's resurrected." And the Bible says it just seemed like idle tales. You got to be kidding me. Hey, we were there. We saw him crucified. He's gone. He's not there. That's impossible. The Roman guards there, the stones there, but Peter and John took off running. Back to John 20. So let's take a look at the response of Peter and John. Verse 4, you see the excitement that they showed. It says both ran together. You say, how come John outran Peter? Because he was younger. Amen? Everybody understand that? We don't need a long theological dissertation on this, okay? Peter's an old dude. John's a young dude. Remember, John lived clear until the 90s AD and died as an old man. So we know at the time of the resurrection, John is still a young man. Some believe just in his 20s. But he's obviously more athletic than Peter. But the big fisherman finally got there. But it took him a little longer. Some people say that he had too much weight. I call it buff. I don't know what you call it. He pulled in 153 fish, as we're going to see in just a couple of messages. But Peter is slow getting there. John gets there first. But they obviously both have excitement. It doesn't say they just took a nice stroll, trying to indicate to the women that they weren't too impressed. No, that isn't what it says. It said they took off running, both of them. So they're showing excitement.
That's David Hawking, and this is Hope for Today. David will return in just a moment or so to bring our study time to a close. Some additional teaching is just ahead, so stay tuned. Right now, Matt's coming into the studio, and we're going to tell you about a great Bible study bundle that we have for you this month, and this is going to bless your socks off. Matt?
This month, we're excited to feature two impactful resources based on Genesis. First, in the beginning, God, a complete study of the book of Genesis. This is a video or audio package covering all of the faith-fortifying drama from creation to Joseph's miraculous family reunification.
72 messages all together, Matt. As a DVD set, you can watch David teach for just $50 or on MP3 audio, and that's just $35.
Topics include the truth of creation that roundly counters the fiction of evolution, the fall of mankind, the flood, Babel, Abraham and Sarah's Odyssey, lessons on God's faithfulness and early history.
Matt, applications for our lives today.
Amen.
A preview of Christ's work on the cross in Genesis 22, and real-life biographies that capture our attention, build our faith, and fill our hearts with hope.
In the beginning, God, a complete study of the book of Genesis is our featured resource package for March. It's my dad's teaching through Genesis, 72 messages all together as a DVD set for just $50 or an MP3 for just $35.
And then, Matt, we're also featuring your dad's book, The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood. And it covers Genesis chapters 1 through 9 for just $15.
Read and discover how we can logically and completely accept the biblical record as accurate and reliable.
Amen. And that an honest scientific look at our world and universe confirms what the Bible says. Get David's book, The Beginning, From Creation to the Flood.
An excellent Christian apologetic for just $15.
And In the Beginning, God, a complete study in the book of Genesis. That resource on DVD, $50, or on MP3 audio, just $35.
Order at davidhocking.org or call at 1-800-75-BIBLE in the U.S. and 1-888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And Bible by the numbers is 24253.
And Matt, just before your dad returns, we want to invite folks to reach out to us. You know, if you need prayer for any reason, well, we'd love to stand with you. You can write to us at Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, send your letter to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S, 8P1. Or give us a call. We love speaking with Hope for Today listening family members. And in Canada, call 888-75-BIBLE. Or in the U.S., 800-75-BIBLE. And let's return to David.
Well, friends, it would be hard to find a more spectacular passage to talk about than John chapter 20. It's also recorded, of course, in the other three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and mentioned over and over again in the books of the New Testament. The most significant fact that we could ever study about the life of our Lord Yeshua is his resurrection from the dead in a real body. It's like every detail we see here is evidence that it really happened. He was gone. We don't have to guess. He was visible for 40 days after his resurrection, spoke to many people, over 500 people at once. There were many appearances of our Lord. So let's get something straight. He is alive. Here at Hope for Today, we believe the Word of God speaks better than any man. Boy, is that ever true. Hope for Today is heard on radio stations throughout the U.S. and Canada. And people are listening to our broadcasts in more than 100 countries around the world. We know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible. You can help us, friends, send this message of hope, a hope based on Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Let's send it around the world with your prayers and your financial support. And if you feel God is leading you to help us spread this, just go to our website, davidhocking.org. Thanks in advance.
Well, like our teacher said, this broadcast is being used mightily by God all over the world, on radio and online. And we give him all of the glory for the work in and through Hope for Today. If you'd like to be a part of this ministry with a one-time or regular financial gift, well, it would mean so much, not just to us, but to those who are hungry for the truth of God's Word. Every gift helps keep these messages going strong, reaching people who may have never heard the gospel before, or believers who need the encouragement of God's Word. Your support makes it possible to provide solid Bible teaching on the airwaves, online, and in places where solid doctrine is desperately needed. Your gift right now will be particularly helpful. To give online, go to davidhawking.org or call us at 800-75-BIBLE, that's in the U.S., or 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. Bible is 24253. And thank you so much for praying for us and standing with us financially as God might direct. Well, coming up next time on the broadcast, Mary Magdalene stands outside the empty tomb, weeping. She thinks Jesus is the gardener, well, at least until he speaks her name. And in that moment, everything becomes clear. Jesus is alive, standing right in front of her. It's the first resurrection appearance, a moment of recognition, worship, and a mission given. Well, do join us back in John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, next time on Hope for Today.